What's going on? My name is Will, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as one of the leaders here at Transformation Church. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are watching from. And if you haven't already, be sure to like and subscribe. We believe that God has such an incredible word for you today. So let's jump into this amazing message.
We are in week 3 of a series we're calling Kingdom Couples. And today we're going to end the series. No, I need to be honest. We're going to pause the series. We're not going to end it. This will be the end of the series for today. But it's going to segue into the series we're about to go into, entitled Damaged But Not Destroyed. Because I believe God has given me a burden to, before 2024 comes, that 2023, the rest of this year, is going to be a year of healing. Okay, let me go to this side. I said the rest of this year is going to be a year of healing. Now, some of y'all sprain your ankle and be like, I'm good. And you've been limping for the last decade. Relationally, spiritually, you can't raise your kids right because there's something in you that has not healed, and you're protecting a wound that God wants to heal. And so next week, I want you to bring all your damage. All of it. And somebody said, Pastor, you're not ready for everything I've been through. I'm not. God is. And he's just going to use me as your coach to be able to examine areas that you have been pushing down. Somebody's like insides are starting to bubble right now because you didn't think you was going to therapy. Come to church for the next 9 weeks. It's going to be free therapy and theology. We're going to put both of them together, and we're going to see God's people like never before get healed. But today, I felt like we had to end this series on a note that's going to help a lot of you lay down weights. The heavy weight that has been slowing you down. The subtitle of this series, if you're just joining us, go back and watch the other two, but I'm going to just start right here. What I want for everybody in this room is to find partners for purpose. Somebody's been listening, okay? We're finding partners what? For purpose, on purpose. And if you know that God has given you a purpose, that you're not just here taking up space, can I hear you make some noise right now that God made you? Y'all don't think God gave you a purpose in the balcony, on the floor? Okay. At least half of y'all think y'all here for a reason. First week, we talked about the power being in the pair. Second week, I taught you how to pick a partner. I felt that this week it would be a bad place to pause if I didn't tell you probably the most important part of partnership, having a kingdom couple, no matter if it's relationally, spiritually, romantically. Write down the title of my message, The Departure of Partnership. How you know it's time to go. Today, I need you to buckle up because it's going to be strong. Because the problem with many people is once we finally form partnerships, we want them to last forever. And many times outside of the parameters that God gives for us to be in relationship, it is no longer a blessing. That relationship is a curse. And many of us have been still hanging with people, calling people our best friends. Uh-oh. Still Netflix and chilling. Read between the lines. With people who are no longer there for your benefit. They are there to make sure you fall. And what God is challenging us is to walk into another level of spiritual maturity to understand that all departures are not from the devil. I'm gonna say it one more time. The enemy's been attacking me. Johnny left. That was God. It was his grace and his protection. We have to move away from everybody we love. They're your crutch. You haven't obeyed God in 6 years because of your mom and them. So God had to relocate you so that you could depend on his voice more than their voice. Okay. The departure of partnership. How you know it's time to go. It's gonna rearrange some people's Christmases. Some of y'all done put deposits on trips that you might have to swallow the loss because I know you didn't get the trip insurance. I know you didn't pay that extra $25. And you were like, I'm not wasting no money, but you're wasting your life? I want us to go to Acts chapter 15 because I want us to do this in a kingdom way. Somebody say kingdom. When you start doing things in a kingdom way, what the world says is bad does not have to be bad in the kingdom. A departure is not negative if it's for your purpose. I'm gonna say it one more time. Them not being with you when you get to the win doesn't mean you lost. Some people are there for a specific time period, and then you have to know. They're not gonna come up to you to say, hey, I'm a distraction to your future. Hey, all the emotional energy you're spending on me because of my relationship is gonna distract you from becoming who you need to be for your relationship. The time you should be spending with God, you're FaceTiming me. Nobody's gonna come to you and say that. You're gonna have to discern for yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. Has something changed? And this is beautiful that the Bible is our playbook and the thing that we live our lives by because we're people of principles and we can actually look at a story in the Bible of a guy named Paul and we can see how to do departure well, okay? So I need everybody, is everybody at Acts 15? It's gonna be on the screen if you don't got it, but let me give you some backstory. Paul is by far one of the greatest apostles that ever comes after Jesus, okay? And his name used to be Saul. Let me put it in today's vernacular. Saul was a gangster. He walked around like, what you looking at? His feet were always like this. And if you popped off, bam! I didn't have guns, but a rock or spear, something. The Bible said he was killing Christians. His reputation was, if you believe in Jesus, I'm taking you off the set. Okay? Then he has an encounter with Jesus. On the road of Damascus, the same way, don't get scared that some of y'all about to encounter Jesus. You've been going the completely different way. I'll never preach, ask Saul. Okay. He meets Jesus, goes blind, has this whole experience where he encounters Jesus, and then he's ready to preach the gospel. Now, I love this because it reminds me of my story, not the gangster killing Christians part, but the part about like filling the call and not having to go through all of man's checkpoints to be able to be called to minister the gospel. All of this stuff, I need to go to seminary, I believe higher education is important, but you can share the gospel the same way you were sharing the flyer about the club. Uh-oh. If it's a good sale, you don't have to go to marketing school to tell somebody that Dillard's is 80% off. And believers were like, I can't share it because I don't know the Hebrew. Stop it. Say, Jesus saved me. I was broken, and now I'm feeling like my pieces is coming back together. You need to know him. Paul literally gets his name changed and goes into ministry. But he had a powerful partnership. And most people know Paul and Silas. But there was a partnership that was before Paul and Silas that allowed him to mature and be ready for his partnership with Paul and Silas. That relationship, it was a relationship between Paul and watch this guy's name, Barnabas. Now, how many people have heard about Barnabas before? Okay, a couple of y'all. But Barnabas was Paul's credit. Because when Paul came out and was like, praise the Lord, everybody was like, uh-oh. Like, think about it. He was killing Christians on Tuesday. And Saturday, he's like, my brother. They're like, oh, God. So Barnabas comes along and he says, I vouch for him. He's had a real transformation. This is why it's important to get around people while you're changing, because there's sometimes they won't believe you because of your past. But if you're around people whose character has been stable and they say, no, I promise, he's actually doing it, it gives you entrance into places you may have to work for. And Barnabas says, no, I vouch for Paul. Literally, Barnabas's name means encourager. He learned the art of the pump up. And their partnership produced. They were so cold as a tag team that other people wanted to come and join their team. It was like the big three. It was like, if we get LeBron and D-Wade together, maybe we can convince Chris Bosh to come to Miami. It was like that whole thing. Like, and they got another guy because they were producing and multiplying. His name was John Mark. Now, we know John Mark wasn't black, because his name was John Mark. But these multi-ethnic people came together to read. Sorry, that's how I just read the Bible. I said, he had to be white. John Mark, that wasn't a brother. And this is where we find this story. Acts chapter 15. It says, after some time, Paul and Barnabas, the partners, they came together and said, let's go back and visit each city where we were previously preaching the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed, let's go, and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul said, heck no. No, he not going. Not matter of fact, if he going, I ain't going. The Bible said he disagreed strongly. Since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia, we're going to call that Philly for right now. He deserted them in Philly and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated, or they departed from each other. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. And as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Let's pray real quick, because this is going to be real heavy for some of y'all. Lord, help us know if it's time to depart from a partnership. Amen. I'm going to use this as a framework. You may need to depart if. Write it down. I may need to depart if, and I'm gonna give you four things real quick. Three is real strong, and the fourth one is gonna bring it on home, but we're gonna do this. Write it down. You may need to depart if, number one, the seasons change. If the season changes, you may need to depart from the relationship. Some of y'all have summer friends in the winter. It was just for a season. And I know you have abandonment issues. And so if anybody comes in and if they leave, you feel like something's wrong with you. It was an answer to your seasonal prayer. It wasn't a permanent fix. It was to get you from where you were to where you needed to go. But when you became dependent on them more than him, he said, the seasons are changing. Okay, this is why I need you to understand that every departure does not have to be devastating. And every season change does not have to be sinister. I've been in church my whole life, and they act like everybody who leaves your life is a hater. And they couldn't believe with you because they know they had an expiration date. That place was for a season, and they were graced for it. But the grace ran out, and they still there. It's like when the oil runs out in your car. It can still function, but something's going to get burnt up. Okay, Has anybody forgot to change their oil before? Come on, let's be honest. I remember driving my daddy's car. And he said, change oil, son. Yeah. And even a little light came on. This ain't working. No more oil. Let me say it a different way. No more grace. Every time you say see their phone call. Oh. But you feel guilty because you're posting on Instagram. They saw your comment on Facebook and be like, really? So you don't want to be, the oil ran out. The season has changed. Paul recognized that the season had changed between him and Barnabas. They had a phenomenal season in ministry. They killed it. They made it out of adversity. And then the season changed. And this is what I really feel as I read all of this gospel and I read Paul's story. Paul had spent half of his life doing the wrong thing. So he could not afford to have the wrong partner with the time he had left. Barnabas may have been doing the right thing for a long time, but Paul had spent years of his life doing the wrong. Okay, can we be honest? We're a humble, open, and transparent church. How many of us have spent years doing the wrong thing? I'm not talking about just sin, just not obeying God. He said, my purpose is too fragile to play with. So I know the season has changed, so there's time now that I have to make a decision. Everybody say a decision. The season's changed. Me and Pastor Charles and Natalie went to Las Vegas for an award show earlier this summer, and we prepared for it to be hot. But when the doors of the airport opened, it seemed like the enemy had opened his mouth from hell. I'm not playing, y'all. It was 115 degrees, dry heat. I mean, we started sweating and we were just looking at each other. Like, I looked at Charles, I was like, what are you doing? Natalie said, she just went back inside. She said, y'all tell me when the car is ready. And as hot as it was, all of us started shedding clothes. All of jackets, hoodies, everything. But what would have happened if somebody would have been putting on clothes in a season where we were supposed to be taking them off? This is what some of us look like relationally. We're putting on clothes in the summer or people in the summer that were made for the winter. Hit me with it. 115 degrees. If I showed up like this in 115 degrees, y'all would have thought he lost his mind or he has some type of low iron or like some type of disease. This is what you look like posting next to them. You steady going after that relationship. It's not that it wouldn't be right in one season. It's just wrong in this one. The level of heat that has come to my body. I'm not moving much because it's gonna start showing that I'm wearing the wrong thing. Some of y'all are experiencing things you never should experience because you have not acknowledged. Listen, all you have to acknowledge is not that this is fly. This looks good in the right. And the reason I got to depart from this fur jacket is not because it wasn't made well. And not because it's not valuable in a different atmosphere. Take this to Colorado. Take it to where's another cold place? Well, take it to Alaska. And this will be perfect, but where God has me, it might need to be a departure if the season has changed. Let me give you another one. You may need to depart if you sense the same cycle. It's a big one. That's a big one. Barnabas, verse 37. Barney agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly since. This is the reason why I have an issue with us going forward in our partnership with that person. The last time he deserted us in Philly. Matter of fact, West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spent most of my days. And he did not continue with us when it was time to work. When it was time for us to get down to business, they were nowhere to be found. When I was going through counseling and I didn't see up from down, they didn't call then. Around my birthday, where we going, friend? What we doing, friend? How we getting down? Shut up. You weren't there for me when I was crying myself to sleep. When I tried to call you and ask you just to come over, because if nobody's here with me, I'm going to his house. Oh, God. When it was time to get down to business, you bailed on me. And I'm not saying you a bad person, because John Mark was still around. And he's still talking to Barnabas. Most of us, our cutoff game's so strong. She said, me, Pastor, me. If somebody does us wrong, leaves us when it's time to go, they don't even exist no more. They don't even exist. But Paul was spiritually mature enough to say, I can still be around you, I just can't partner with you. How many believers can know your season's up at the church, but not dog the church you leave? I had to just go because they was just giving milk. How many actually left a deposit greater than the distraction they take away? It's all about spiritual maturity at this point. And Paul was spiritually mature enough to say, yeah, y'all can kick it. We can even talk about the celebration. But when it's time to gear up to go back into battle, I can't go because I sense the same cycle. There is nothing that gives me indication that you have changed. So you're not a bad person. You just have not transformed. And I'm not going back into the war with somebody that I already have a warning about. Michael, you preaching. I know. This is what I'm telling you. You do not go into war with people you be like, are they with me? Do they pray for me or do they talk about me? I know they got a knife, but is it going to end up in my back or are they... Paul knew something that we all need to know, because when it was time to go hard, John Mark went home. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to set up some unrealistic goal that John Mark has to prove to me. I'm just going to be intentional about, watch this cuss word, boundaries. I know church people don't like this. We're supposed to forgive. Yes. But they don't have to be that close. No. We can release them of the debt and not be dumb.
No, I mean, we used to smoke weed together all the time, and we made a pact that we was done with the dodie, done with the dodie, done with the dodie.
Some of y'all like, dodie? I just dated myself. I'm sorry. But they went back, and I'm trying to walk this thing out, and it's not a sin, but I have a conviction. So I can't chill at their house every day no more. Not because I don't like them, but I have to create a boundary.
Where you been at, bro?
Home.
Oh, you different now.
No, I'm trying to be.
Oh, okay, you better than us.
No, I actually am trying to be a person of my word. And I made a promise to God that's more valuable than my promise to you. And so right now, I just gotta create this clear boundary, not because you're bad, because I'm trying to stay blessed. This is two different things. And the church, we've been bad at this because we gotta make somebody the villain. And Paul shows us they don't gotta be the villain. I just sense the same cycle. You gonna keep cheating on your wife. We can't be friends like that. I was there the first two times, bro. And you stay on my couch. And they all, my captain crushed. But this seems like a decision you've made. So the next time you do it, I'm gonna pray for you, but you can't stay here. Okay. Okay. Damage but not destroy is gonna be good for all of us because we're gonna teach y'all how to make some boundaries.
Boundaries just don't happen. Some people would rather them just happen by osmosis. But the conversation that you usually have to create, let me say this, it's not a boundary if they don't know. I don't change, they just haven't called. Don't call it a boundary if you've not had a conversation. And the conversation comes from your conviction. And your conviction makes you have to, watch this, confront. Confrontation is not bad, it's necessary. And most people are like, we about to have a confrontation. It just means I'm gonna bring it up front. I'm not gonna sweep it under the rug. I'm not gonna put it behind me. We're going to bring it up. Paul has to confront Barnabas. He doesn't say, Silas, come on, let's go. We out of here. That would have been unfaithful to the partnership they had. He said, hey, what's up, John Mark? Barnabas, come here. I ain't going with him. Paul, it's John Mark. He's been with us on so many journeys. But when we was in Philly, he left us. Yeah, I know. I asked him what happened. He said he had a case of the BGs. He went behind the bush. He came out and he was like, where'd they go? I hear all of that. But what we doing right now is life or death. God saved me for a purpose. And I can't roll with nobody who is not sure about why they're here. So he had a confrontation with Barnabas that did not, watch this, this may be shocking. It didn't end in blows. They wasn't on Twitter talking about some friends is fake.
Guys, we know who you're talking about.
They weren't doing passive aggressive subliminal messages. They had a conversation and made a decision. Oh, I love this. This is mature teaching right here. He said, he had to have a confrontation with the guy who put him on. Think about how difficult that would be. To the person who in one season gave you credit, now you have to confront them because they no longer serve the purpose in your life. Paul needed relationships on purpose, for purpose. So watch this, write this down in a point. Your calling is worth uncomfortable confrontations. I gotta move. Okay, so you may need to depart from the partnership, okay? If the seasons change, number one. If you sense the same cycle, number two. Number three, you may need to depart if a storm is coming. See, Paul, after having his conversion, realized that living for Jesus and representing the kingdom meant that storms were coming. This thing that everybody's talking about, come to Jesus now, everything go away. You don't gotta worry no more about nothing. God gonna take care of it all. That's a lie. The purpose of coming to Jesus is now you're walking with the one who knows everything. And even when you go through the storms, you know that you're not alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that is not a lyric from a rap song. Some of y'all, that's not. That's the Bible. And he's saying, I'll be with you no matter what storm you go through. And this is what I found as a pastor. And this is what I want you to find out as a believer. This is mature Christian living right here. Storms are a sign of success in the kingdom. Paul had come to a place in his life where he knew another storm was coming. I'm not about to play myself and be around people who weak in storms. I know I'm sitting here on purpose, for a purpose. I got kingdom business to do. God literally transformed me from the biggest gangster to the biggest apostle, and I'm about to walk into my next storm with a partner who doesn't know their purpose? Let me prove it to you. I'm going to let Paul tell you how he knew and how he lived, knowing that storms were coming. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. This is Paul talking. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Y'all know how we be crying on the Passion when Jesus be getting whipped? Paul got that 4 times. 5 times, I'm sorry. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and the day at the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, endangered in the country, endangered in the sea. We be singing, we blessed in the city. Paul was singing, in danger in the city, endangered in the field, in danger when I come and when I go. We must hide everywhere. No, I'm just gonna stop. And watch this. And I've been in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, after all of that, I face the daily pressure of my concerns for all the churches. He was saying, yo, because of how much weight I carry in the kingdom, another storm is coming. Can I talk to Transformation Church? If you rocking with us right now, the truth of the matter is we are taking too much of the enemy's territory. When we step out and use technology and we do the play and we actually reach people beyond. One of my greatest compliments, children, close your ears, is when somebody who don't care about God say, I F's with Mike Todd. Now, I don't mess with that church stuff, but I F's with transformation. Do you know what that means? It means our vision is working. We are representing God to the lost and the fact. For one reason, what is it? Transformation in Christ. So if you thought the spit hits the fan with something, another storm coming? Because we mean too much in the kingdom. God, this is why we pray constantly. This is why we show love and generosity. We gave away $8 million a few months before the spit hit the fan. Not one story about it. They thought I said 8,000. $8 million. We gave away $8 million. The local news didn't cover it. I spit on my blood brother. I mean, we've shared drinks. We've shared, and I can think of a lot of the more disgusting stuff that y'all do with spit. Let me stop. What I've come to the conclusion of is that when you are living on purpose in the kingdom, storms are coming. And so what do we do, Pastor Mike? Well, I found out when we come to partnerships, when we know a storm's coming like Paul, we should stop praying for weaker storms and start praying for stronger partners. Ooh, that's good if you clap or not. Lord, let the storm go away. He said, this one's going to make you. You're going to learn something through this storm that money couldn't give you. You're going to learn something through this storm that going from wind to wind can't teach you. Stop praying for weaker storms and start praying for stronger partners. See, Paul, one of Paul's greatest tests were coming in Acts 16, when because he was walking in his authority as apostle, this woman was bothering him and he cast out a demon and she was making money for a higher up. And so they got mad. The whole town got mad because she got healed. She got healed, they got mad. She was addicted to something. She gets free. The whole mob comes after him and they get thrown in jail. And y'all know the story. It says, and at midnight, Paul and prayed and sang praises to God. They did it until the point that the jail began to shake. And not just their chains fell off, woo, but the chains of everybody in the place, their chains fell off. There's some people, your praise and your prayer is gonna make other people's chains fall off. But listen, what if the scripture would have read, and at midnight, Paul and John Mark or it could have read, and at midnight, Paul was alone. Because sensing what he had done before, when they would have been like, Gary, go right there. John Mark would have been like, excuse me. But Silas said, take us. Here we are. What are we going to do now, Paul? The same thing we do every day. We're going to pray and we're going to sing praises to God. What if they kill us? Then they kill us. But we're going to go out doing what we've done every day. I feel this thing. We're going to pray and we're going to sing praises to God. What if they don't remember us? They only have to remember him. And if our platform is this jail cell, all of these prisoners are gonna know that we sang praises and we prayed. Instead of a partner that was praying on Paul, P-R-E-Y, he had a partner that was praying with him. And your storm may look different. Your storm may be loss. It may be failure. It may be pain. It may be tragedy. But I need you to be proactive with your partnerships. You can't build partnerships for prison in prison. You got to build them before. And this is why I'm just saying, like, maybe there needs to be a departure because the season just changed. Or maybe there needs to be a departure because God's saying something different and they're doing the same cycle over and over again. I sense the same cycle. Or maybe you need to do it because a storm is coming. I found this interesting fact out this week from one of my friends. He said, most animals, when a storm is coming, they sense it. Yeah, y'all know your dog. And it's like sunny skies out. You're like, what's wrong, Rufus? And it's like, he can't tell you. Like, but he can't tell you that. So you just like, all right. And then it's like, boom. Most animals have that sense. But there's one animal that when a storm is coming, they run into it. Does anybody know what that animal is? It's a buffalo. A buffalo, when they sense the storm, they say, where is it at? Right there? And they take off full speed. While everybody else is running away, the buffalo runs into the eye of it. What scientists have discovered is that when the buffalo run into it, because no animal can escape it, they just try to hide from it. It allows them to go through it quicker than any other animal. And they don't keep getting hit with the worst parts of it. Because the worst parts of a storm is on the outside. And what if the church would be ones that say, you know what? Another storm is coming. Write what you want to write. Say what you want to say. But we go run into, we go run into the eye of the storm and it won't be able to take us out. Oh, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is the season where we're no longer scared of the storm. Some of y'all, the enemy has tried to make you afraid. Well, what if, and what if, and what if? Bring it on. Because I know the one who walks with me. I know the one who created the storm. Oh, the Bible tells us he can tell the winds and the waves. My God knows something about storms. Y'all remember when the disciples were scared? Because they were on the sea and it was storming all around them. What was Jesus doing? Taking a nap. Why? Because he knew he had control. The buffalo has faith to run into it. And I'm asking you, is this the season where the storm indicates your success instead of makes you run away scared? And the most beautiful thing is when buffaloes begin to run to the storm, they don't run alone. The people who were with them, they said, ain't we buffaloes too? Somebody look at your neighbor. Are you a buffalo? No, seriously. Do you have the faith to run into the storm with me, Fee? Do you have the faith to run into the storm with me, Charles? Do you have the faith to run into the storm with me? And let me say this. I need to talk to all my married couples real quick as I close. Because some of y'all been listening to this message all day and said, finally, somebody gave me permission. How to depart from the partnership. I'm leaving, yo. anointed self. There are some reasons why you need to depart from the marriage relationship. And the Bible's clear on those things. But the truth of the matter is many of you need to lock arms with your partner and you need to run into the storm. One of y'all been running towards it while the other one's been running away. Both of y'all been retreating. Let me give you practical steps of what running into the storm looks like. You need to go to counseling.
I ain't telling nobody about my business and blah, blah, blah.
You can't handle it. The person who loves you more than anybody on this world, you're putting up a wall against them. And God is challenging you right now not to run away from the storms of your past. Maybe you cheated. Maybe you let something in that wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe y'all decided to do it together and that spirit of lust came into y'all's marriage bed and it took something away from you intimately. I'm talking about real stuff. Maybe it was the kids. Y'all lived for them for so long and now they're gone and you don't even know who you're married to. You look at a stranger every morning. Yeah, a storm is coming. But why don't you lock arms with that person that you've given covenant to and allow you, that person, and the Holy Spirit to run into the storm? It gets over quicker. And on the other side of the storm, you've never seen the sun shine like it shines after a downpour of rain. This is a prophetic word to somebody right now that we're not giving up. We're not going back. Our marriage will be a testimony and God will get the glory out of this because we're going to get the right partner and run into the storm. By faith, can we just give God some praise that God is mending relationships? He's creating kingdom couples. What they thought was going to take them out is about to make them. In the name of Jesus. Last one. You may need to depart from the partnership if, watch this, the Spirit says so. This last one ain't gonna make sense. Oh, they're toxic. They're gonna be great for you. Everything that y'all do wins together. And God's gonna say, leave that. excuse me, Lord. I've run an analysis on all my past relationships and this one. And it looks like this one is the best one I've ever been in. So could you get with the Father and the Spirit, reconsider and get back to me by Monday? Have God ever told you to do something? I don't know about you, but it just didn't make no sense. But faith begins where understanding ends. You don't need faith if it makes sense. And the Bible tells us we walk by. I said we walk by and not by. So if I can see it makes sense, but God says something different, it might be good for me to go with what he said. What are some other names for the Holy Spirit? The advocate. The helper. Give me a couple more. The comforter. The paraclete. What'd you say? The defender. Okay. Let me introduce you to a name for the Holy Spirit that Jesus calls him. John chapter 16, verse 13. You may have never heard this before. This is Jesus. When the, what's this name? Spirit of truth. So you can say, Holy Spirit, help me. Or you can say, Spirit of truth. Help. He calls him the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, watch this. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. Heaven's having a conversation about you right now. And the Holy Spirit is the messenger to come tell you the truth about your future. And if you shut him up, or the Bible puts it like this, quench him. Squeeze him out because you make room for everything else and not him. He says, I have the truth. I can tell you what relationships are going to work.
I can tell you what partnerships are going to go. You're going to have to trust me, though. Heaven was having a conversation about you. These relationships, they're good, seemingly, but they're going to end bad. Stop them now. And sometimes it won't make any fiscal, physical, or logical sense. And the Holy Spirit will say, trust me. He said he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about, watch this, the future. I already had this message prepared, and then somebody sent me this video of a couple that I was preaching in 2018 in the Stride series. And I just, y'all know I'd be up here, I'd just be saying stuff. No. Like, I'd be studying, I'd be preparing, and then, but like, then there's like spontaneous things, and I make up people's names, and I say all this stuff. And I just said this name, and I was using it as an example, and God is so detailed that he chose to use me unknowingly to be able to speak directly to a young lady's situation. And I just want everybody to hear that the Spirit told her to do something that didn't really make full sense. And the result of listening to the Spirit of God over any other voice. Watch this video real quick. Don't date him. Well, God. Now, you made a masterpiece in Ricardo. And God, I really think this is your will for me and Ricardo to make some babies, Lord. And he said, don't marry him because he hasn't worked on his character yet. And when you get into that, you're going to marry the generational curses. I got Ricky. He 3 years away. But you want where I've provided, not where you can see. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by. It's easy to go after what you can see. It takes faith to go after what God is trying to provide for you. The man's actual name was Ricardo, y'all. There was no guarantee. She had to obey what the Holy Spirit told her. Watch this. My future is fortified as I follow the Holy Spirit. Some of our partnerships we've been talking about, and you've been thinking of actual people. And I believe that secondary relationship, maybe the partnership that's most important of all, is that you develop a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Because if he is actually the Spirit of truth, and knows everything about everything, even all the meetings in heaven that are happening about you, maybe the most important relationship right now to partner with is partnering with the Holy Spirit. And I know many of you are ready to depart from partners. You like, I got them written down. The Holy Spirit told me while you was preaching, he told me, Jesse, Jerome, Jaquan, I got all of them. And that's what I've been praying the whole time, that you wouldn't just hear me, that he would speak. Some of you need to set boundaries. Some of you, the season has changed. Some of you, you've already seen the same cycles. This is just confirmation to you. But if we're actually going to heal for the rest of this year, there's some things that we need to look at. And today I wanted to end this by letting you know that the Holy Spirit will speak to you better than Pastor Mike ever will. If I could just talk to Pastor Mike. Mm-mm. Because I have a limited amount of wisdom. But the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of truth, he wants to lead you and guide you every day. And I know maybe this Holy Spirit has been presented to you in a wrong way, but let me tell you, he's my friend. It's not a he. The third person in the Trinity. Pastor Mike, why are you going so deep? I thought this was about partnership. It is. Jesus says, it's better for me to physically leave this earth so you can get a better partner. Huh? Because right now, if I said you can have Jesus on this earth or the Holy Spirit, most of us would choose Jesus. Because all the stories are about Jesus. But if you ask Jesus who we need,
I know this is messing with your theology. It's all about him. He said, let me go. So you can have the partner you need on this earth. I'm going to take a seat at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to be interceding. But the person who's going to translate for you and be able to let you know, no, don't go to that college. No, don't move into that neighborhood. Don't take on that debt right now. No, no, no. That's where you're supposed to go right now. No, those are your people. The one who's going to do that, his name is the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside of you to help you. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. He will sit with you. He will stand with you. He will tell you what the truth is about your future. And today, I want to pray that more than any partnership, that you become a partner with the Holy Spirit. That's it. Because right now, to go and depart from some of these relationships, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Because some of them, watch this, have soul ties attached to it. You've gotten intertwined in intercourse. And now it's not just, I can't get away from them. You're ripping away a piece of you when you rip away from them. And I don't want to lose that part of me. You used to not be mean, and then you got with them, and then somehow this rage came out of you. That's what we call a soul tie. And God's saying, like, let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into all truth. When he tells you don't call him, well, that we deserve closure. But when the Holy Spirit said don't call him, but Pastor, your point was that we don't have to do this nasty and ugly. But when the Holy Spirit says don't call him, today, if you know you need your partnership with the Holy Spirit to go to another level, all over this house, all over the world, I want you to stand up. It's not for everybody, but you need to make a fresh commitment to your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Yep. You need a fresh connection. I feel the presence of God in this place. Yeah, there's some relationships that are about to, and I'm about to be there by the end of the year. And it's okay, because your purpose is worth it. Let me say that again. Your purpose is worth it. But to really be able to do this right, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. If you want a fresh connection with the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands. Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to pray with your children and to let them know that you are so aware of their humanity. And you love us so much that you sent divinity to walk with us and talk with us every day. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. Come on, somebody say it. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life in a new way. I'm open. I'm available. Speak to me. Lead me into truth. And now, Father, let every blockage and every bondage go right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you that there would be a fresh flow of your Spirit in every household. Father God, that husbands and wives will be in other rooms praying, and you'll say the same thing to them, Father God. And they'll come out of that room, not fighting, but on one accord. God, I thank you that co-parents, Father God, are going to come together in a new way where there's been dissension and frustration, Father God, and baby mama drama and baby daddy drama. Father, I thank you for unity, Father God. Begin to speak to people, Father God. I thank you, Father God, where there has been pain and frustration on jobs. Father, you know what our boss is thinking. You know what the real solution is. Father, lead us into all truth. We need to change gyms and change neighborhoods, Father, or go in a season of consecration. Holy Spirit, let all of our partnerships be dictated by our partnership with you. Today we need you in a new and a fresh way. Do a work on the inside of me. Today we're ending this series, Father God, knowing that some relationships in our life need to change. But the one that needs the strongest transformation is the relationship we have with you, Holy Spirit. If you say so. Come on, somebody just say that. Holy Spirit, if you say so. Father, let us obey it if you say so. I feel the presence of God in this room right now. So by faith, God, we say, take our hearts and mold it, and take my mind and transform it, and take my will. It's strong, it's strong, it's really strong, but conform it to yours, to yours, oh Lord. This is our prayer all the rest of the year. Just one more time. Take my heart and mold it. Woo. And take my mind, transform it, and take my will, conform it, not to my friends, but to yours, oh, there's a sweet present, just one more time, so take my heart. God, we're surrendering everything to you. And mold, and take my mind, woo! And God, I know my will is strong, but take my will, conform it. Sit to yours. Now unto him who is able, not unto you who is able, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Your whole life can change in the next 3 months. Y'all didn't hear me. All Jesus needs is 3 days. He conquered death, hell, and the grave in 3 days. What can God do with the next 3 months? But it takes a surrendered person. Take my heart. Take my mind. Oh, I've been doing me all these years, Lord. But take my will. Here I am. Everything I said I'd never do, all right, I'm open. Come on, I'm open. If you've never accepted Jesus, listen to me. This is the part that you need, because it's through our faith in Jesus that we get access to the Holy Spirit. And so if you're in this room and you're saying, Pastor Mike, I'm a bad person, or I'm a good person, just ain't walk with Jesus. Today, I want your life to be transformed. It's the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography, had car insurance fraud on my record, all kind of stuff. Y'all was jacked up. And the fact that I'm up here preaching to you right now, it's only because of the grace of God. And at Transformation Church, we never forget the grace of God. It's the unmerited, unearned, undeserved. There's nothing I did. I couldn't preach when God found me. It wasn't because I did things good. It's because he was good. So today, if you're in here and your heart is like, what is going on? Guess what? The Bible said the Holy Spirit, all service, all week, he's been drawing you to Jesus. See, the access to the Holy Spirit, you really become aware of it after you give your life to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit been with you your whole life. And he's been drawing you. And today is the day of salvation. I need all the people who know what this is. I need you to begin to start praying. Because somebody's life is in the balance right now. This is a decision that changes generational habits.
and brings in generational blessing. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. If you want to give your life to Christ today, if you're watching online or you're in this building right now, today is the day of salvation. And today God is with open arms saying, come on, it's time to change seasons. It's time for you to stop being the Lord of your life and let me be the Lord of your life. On the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand wherever you are, in the room, up in the balcony, on the floor, in the hallway, in the bathroom, at your house, on the treadmill. Today, right where you are, is an altar. And God says, would you come to me? This is why our church exists. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all of eternity. Three, with faith, would you lift your hands if you want to receive Jesus? I see you up there, my brother. I see you. I see you, sis. I see you, sis. A whole row of people. Come on. Hey, transformation. Can we get online? Hands are going up in the chat. Glory to God. This is why we believe. At TC, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So would everybody, one last time, just lift your hands. Because we're family here, and we're going to pray this together. Everybody say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I choose you. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, y'all. Oh, come on, Transformation Church. Welcome to the kingdom. Hey, listen. If you're watching, there's a QR code that's on the screen. If you're in the room, it works. Pull your phone out and just click that. And I want to walk with you. Not just me. This church wants to walk with you. And we want to help you. We want to give you some next steps. Next week, we start a brand new series called Damaged But Not Destroyed. Everybody bring your tissue. Hard thugs, bring your tissue. Because we're going to get healed. Is anybody ready for real healing? Not like that fake, like, we're going to get healed. Send it to your family members. In the lobby right after service, there's a pizza party. But before the pizza party, there's prayer if you need it. I'm going to ask the worship team to sing one more song. If you need prayer for everything, the team is, or for anything. Somebody said for everything. Somebody's like, yes, that's me. If you need prayer for everything, okay, here I come. For real. Do not leave without the partnership of prayer. Father, bless these people. Thank you that you're doing the work in us that's going to change the world. Heal us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we agree. Amen. I love you all, the first-time visitors. Thank you for coming. Go out and live a transformed life.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged you. Here at Transformation Church, our vision is to represent God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And if you would like to partner with us in giving, you can text GIVE to 828282, or you can visit on our website. Also, be sure to subscribe and check out all the other incredible sermons available, as well as watching our live Sunday experience that begins at 10:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Now, go out and live a transformed life.